your instructor for the course in the book of Joshua. At this time, we're going to begin lesson number 13, which will cover chapter 12 in the book of Joshua. In the title of our lesson 13 is No Time to Rest, Part 1. First, I want to begin with an outline, and you can follow on, of course, with your course outline and look at the information under lesson number 13, No Time to Rest, Part 1. For most of Christians, the battle is over. Fighting has ended, and for the most part, we have given in to the enemy, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Christianity has become spiritually anemic. We are tired spiritually and look forward to vacations away from it all, when God all along really wants us to get refreshed, refueled, and reinforced for the battle while in the battle. What a thought! We can get renewed daily in the struggles. As a matter of fact, many times there is no break between battles. So the key to learn is to find refreshment where you are at. That's what church and Christian fellowship is all about. God says there is no time to rest. The field is already white, past ripe unto harvest. Don't delay. We see here that Joshua is old and could well retire if he wanted to. But there is no time to rest. There is still much work to do, and Joshua is committed to completing the job they set out to do. It is time for the children of Israel to possess the land, to occupy it. And for the Christian, it is getting filled with the Spirit. Over in the book of Ephesians, if you turn there with me, please, in Ephesians chapter 5, as Christians, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 18, the Bible tells us, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We want to note the phases in obtaining their inheritance. Number one, first they claimed it. And we see that in Numbers chapter 13 all the way to Joshua chapter 1 verse 18. And we say first claim it. In other words, know the clear boundaries of conquest and not vague ideas. Note, this is not a name it and claim it operation. God named it, so we need to claim it. It is not up to us to decide what we just want, but to receive what Christ has provided, salvation, sanctification, and joy. Amen? So first we claim it. Number two, then conquer it. And we saw the children of Israel conquer the promised land, and beginning in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, all the way up to Joshua chapter 11, verse 22. Third, we saw them possess it, and we're going to see them possess it. And that this began in Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, all the way through the time of Judges. And the possess it means filling it up. Amen. And then finally, number four, not just defeating the inhabitants, but moving in, rebuilding the cities, and settling in the land, and setting up a whole new structure and culture, a new life. Now we want to begin our lesson, No Time to Rest, Part 1, which covers Joshua chapter 12. The first step to possession is to remember the past victories. Don't forget what God has done for you and through you. The Christian needs to have regular times of memorial, be it the Lord's Supper, the spiritual birthday to remember the day that you were saved, you were born again, and remember remembrances of spiritual victories. Amen. Now we want to turn to Joshua chapter 12 with me. Joshua chapter 12. And in Joshua chapter 12, we want to look at verses 1 through 6. Joshua chapter 12. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon in all the plain on the east. Now we're going to see the victories. We're going to be looking at the victories on the eastern side of the Jordan. And there were two victories under Moses. We'll see Sihon and Og. Now, Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Arorah, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the sea of Chinneroth on the east, under the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jethemoth, and from the south unto Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Astaroth, at Endri, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salcae, and all Bashan, under the border of Geshurites, and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. So here we see the victories on the eastern side of the Jordan. These were not just any old kings, and their kingdoms were not run-of-the-mill easy kingdoms to conquer. None of these battles could be taken for granted. Og was a giant. And Moses gave the 2 1/2 tribes the eastern land. And this matches the sinner's battle getting saved. There are giants blocking you from ever entering the new life in Christ, the promised land. And they must be dealt with and conquered for you to get saved. Then begins the real battle for total surrender and possession by the Holy Spirit. And then, in the rest of the chapter, we see victories on the western side of Jordan. There were 31 victories under Joshua. Let's read down through the end of the chapter here with me. Beginning in verse 7. Of chapter 12 of Joshua. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side of Jordan on the west, from Baalgad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for possession, according to their divisions, in the mountains, and in the valleys, and in the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one, the king of Jerusalem, one, the king of Hebron, one, the king of Jarmuth, one, the king of Lachish, one, the king of Eglon, one, the king of Jezer, one, the king of Debir, one, the king of Jeder, one, the king of Hormath won, the king of Arad won, the king of Libna won, the king of Adullam won, the king of Makeda won, the king of Bethel won, the king of Taphia won, the king of Hefer won. We continue in verse 18. The king of Aphek won, the king of Lasharon won, the king of Madon won, the king of Hazor won, the king of Shimroth Miron won, the king of Aksef won, the king of Tayanak won, the king of Megiddo won, the king of Kadesh won, the king of Jokum of Carmel won, the king of Dor in the coast of Dor won, the king of the nations of Gilgal won, the king of Tizah won, and all the kings 30 and 1. Now notice that the majority of the battles on the east side were internal battles with their hearts and with a few enemies. They were fighting themselves and their leader most of the time. In other words, the enemy was internal enemies. Once they get where God wanted them, the promised land, then that is where the real fighting began. When you get where God wants you, then you will experience not only the battles, but the victories, if you will follow your commander. Israel battled in every situation possible, in mountains, plains, valleys, you name it, they fought it, to show that no matter where you encounter the enemy in life, it will never be too much nor too hard. Note in Joshua 12, verse 21, the defeat of the king of Megiddo. Joshua defeated this king, but its power will show up again later in another battle in the future, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, as we conclude this lesson, lesson number 13, let's just look at some study questions. The battles before we get right with God are battles with what mainly? What did we find out from our lesson? The battles before we get right with God are battles with what mainly? Well, according to our lesson, I believe it's ourselves, our fears, and our Lord. You know, we battle with making the Lord of our lives, amen? And our fears, you know, our faith hasn't become strong enough. When we fear, we still fear a lot of things. And we know the fear of man bringeth a snare. And the battle most of the time is ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. Next, the battles after we surrender and follow the Lord are battles with what mainly? And of course, that would be the real enemies, amen? The real enemies. That would be the devil. The devil, amen? The world. The devil and his demons, his workers. Next third study question is, to take possession of our new Christian life is referred to as what in the New Testament? And we saw that early in our lesson, and that's basically getting filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And then finally, our final study question for this lesson is, a good way to begin taking possession of your Christian life is by what? Well, we saw in our lesson, by reviewing God's victories in our past. Even just the victory of getting saved is good enough to begin with, amen? Because I know with a lot of us, there was a struggle in us getting saved, amen? And then finally we got saved, praise the Lord. So this concludes lesson number 13, which we looked at Joshua chapter 12, which is entitled No Time to Rest Part 1. Now we want to pick up and begin lesson number 14, which we'll look at chapter 13 of the book of Joshua. And of course, our lesson 13 is entitled, Excuse me, lesson 14 is entitled No Time to Rest, part number 2. As we begin lesson number 14 and look at Joshua chapter 13, let's have a little bit of an introduction I'd like to give you. First of all, Christians seem to be so tired spiritually these days and look forward to vacation away from it all, including the Bible and church. When God all along really wants us to get refreshed, refueled, and reinforced for the battle while in the battle. What a thought. We indeed can get renewed daily in the struggles. As a matter of fact, many times there's no break between battles. So the key to learn is to find refreshment where you are between battles. So the key is to find that refreshment, and of course that refreshment would be the church and Christian fellowship, amen? And God tells us there is no time to rest. The field is already white or past ripe under harvest, so we're not to delay. Joshua is old and could well retire if he wanted to, but there's no time to rest. There is still much work to do, and Joshua is committed to completing the job they set out to do. It's a time to possess the land and to occupy it. For the Christian, as we said before, it's getting filled with the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, as we begin our lesson, No Time to Rest, part 2 in Joshua chapter 13, the first step to possession, we saw in Joshua 12, was to remember the past victories. Don't forget what God has done for you and through you. And the thing we must remember is to never think that you have arrived. Amen? Never think that you have arrived. Let's look in Joshua chapter 13 now. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And down through verse number 6 with me of Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, in all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron, northward, which is counted to the Canaanite. Five lords of the Philistines, the Gazerites, and the Ashdodites, and the Ashkelonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Megara, that is beside Sidon's, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites in all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal-Gad unto Mount Hermon, unto the entering into Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon unto Misrephothmaim in all the Sidonians, then will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. So, never think you ever arrived. But, God told Joshua there was still a lot of work to be done. Amen. And Paul reminds us, you know, he's telling them that you're not now on easy street. You know, you've entered in the land, you've conquered the heathen in the land, but there's still more work to be done. There's still other people to be conquered. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and this, of course, should be our attitude. We should never have the attitude that we're arrived, amen? But Paul said, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. It is that I may apprehend that for which also I apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I counted not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul had the attitude. He kept pressing on. He never rested. He knew still more work. There was still more work ahead for the Lord. He didn't look back, but kept his eyes on Jesus. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, you may be very familiar, I hope you are, with the scripture in verses 8, 9, and 10. Of course, 8 and 9, we're very familiar with. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes on, you know, God just doesn't save us and boom, leave us there. It goes on and it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what purpose? Under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, once we get saved, it's not over. We go to work for the Lord. Amen? God just doesn't save us and that's it. It's once we get saved, then we go to work for the Lord. We do the good works to glorify our Father in heaven because we're saved, not to try to save ourselves. Amen? We want to note a couple of things here. That Joshua was old but not finished fighting. He was about 100 years old here. That even in spite of all the victories, there were many more battles to be won and the land to be possessed ahead. Amen? And the principle here that we want to learn is God's will for your life is never exhausted. You never reach a plateau, amen, in your Christian growth. There is always further to go. You know, you just don't hit a point and that's it. There's always further to go, amen? I believe God wants us, each and every one of us, to die on the battlefield with glory in our soul, amen? Doesn't want us to retire and that's it. You reach a place and, okay, I'm all done for what I've done, everything God wants me to do. No, there's always something to do for the Lord. Or there's always further to go for the Lord. As we read, there was still land that had yet to be conquered and possessed. And for the land grant given to Abraham, I'm going to give you some references for you to look up. We won't go there. But to see that the land grant that was promised to Abraham by God, look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 17 and 18, and Genesis 15 verses 18 to 21. Let me give you those again. Of course, this is for the land grant given to Abraham by the Lord. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, Genesis 13, 17, and 18, and Genesis 15, verses 18 through 21. And of course, as we read just a moment ago, we see that the land to be conquered and possessed was the borders of the Philistines on the southwest, the land of Giblites, which was the central portion, all of Lebanon, the hill country to the north, and the Sidonians also to the north. Now notice the renewed promise of victory in verse 6. The renewed promise of victory in verse 6 of Joshua 13. We read. He says there in the end of the verse, only he says, verse 6, then will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto Israel, unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. But he promises them all the inhabitants of the hill country, he says, from Lebanon unto Misrephothmaim and all the Sidians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. So we see then already the promise, a renewed promise of victory. The Lord never points out the sin or the areas to be conquered, with also providing the grace to deal with it. And it's conditioned upon obedience, though. Amen? He never points out the sin, which is our spiritual application to the physical land here, or the areas to be conquered, amen, without providing the grace to deal with it, conditioned upon obedience. In other words, he gave them the land to be conquered, amen, and he gave them the means to do it with. But it was still conditioned upon the Israelites being obedient to God. And the same thing with us. The Lord never points out the sin in our life without also giving us the grace to deal with it. And of course, again, it's all conditioned upon our obedience, using the grace that God has given to us to deal with our sin. Amen. Next thing we want to see is, in verses 7 through 12, is don't wait for complete victory to take place before enjoying your inheritance. Divide the land and move in. Looking in Joshua chapter 13 again, in verses 7 through 12. Now therefore, he says, in beginning in verse 7, now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance with Moses, gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. So we know that two tribes, the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh, were given an inheritance on the east side. Now they're on the west side of the Jordan, and the other nine tribes and a half tribe of Manasseh will get the rest. And he goes on from Aor, that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, in the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba unto Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, in the border of the children of Ammon, and Gilead, in the border of Geshurites and Machnatites, and all the Mount Hermon, and all Bashan unto Salke, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned, and Ashtaroth and Enderai, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. So we want to say here, as we look at, don't wait for complete victory to take place before enjoying your inheritance. Divide the land and move in. And start dividing the land, which meaning fill up the land, you are conquered. In other words, don't just leave it empty. Fill as you conquer it. And then start inheriting the land. Reap the benefits of your new life under the dominion of Christ. A lot of Christians don't even know what benefits there are in being a Christian that can be experienced here and not just in heaven, like long life, inherited by faithful living, sanity, in audiences with the King. Next on our outline, as we look at our lesson here on No Time to Rest Part 2, we want to see, don't fail to finish the job. Don't fail to finish the job. Looking in verse 13 of Joshua 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not. You see that? Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Here we have the first mention. Note, the first mention of incomplete obedience is in Joshua 13:13. The problem was that these kingdoms were not considered worth paying much attention to. So we know there's going to be a problem there, amen? Whenever there's incomplete obedience. God wants complete obedience, amen? Next we want to see, don't try to make your inheritance material things. In verse 14 of Joshua 13, only under the tribe of Levi he gave none of the inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Over in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, in verse number 15, we read, as we're looking at this point, don't make your inheritance material things. Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. We see that God started with the tribe of Levi, those who had the sacrifices. Levi was the priest tribe with no physical inheritance. For the tribe of Levi, nothing was awarded. Now the Christians match this tribe, amen? The Christians match this tribe. Look in for me, 1 Peter for a moment. In 1 Peter, chapter 2, in verse number 5, it says about the Christian, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, in holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then again in Hebrews chapter 11 with me. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 13, Hebrews chapter 11, we want to look in Hebrews chapter 11. In verses, actually, I believe we want to look in Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews 13, and verse 13 through 16. Hebrews 13, verses 13 through 16. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Now, we saw that we're royal priesthood as Christians. And now, as Christians, we're to offer up to God spiritual sacrifices, and they're listed here in verse 15 and follow. By him, Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, as a spiritual sacrifice, a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good is another one, and to communicate, forget not to communicate, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we see that the Christian in some ways matches the tribe, the priesthood, the priest tribe of Levite. No physical inheritance, but certainly a spiritual inheritance, amen. And we do have the sacrifices, amen. We are a royal priesthood, and we're to give up spiritual sacrifices, just as the tribe of Levi was to give up the physical sacrifices, amen, to God. We see that God started with the spiritual first, and then turned to those who settled for second best, the 2.5 tribes, amen. He started there with, amen, the Levites, and then he started with Turn to those who settled for second best. The two one and a half tribes that received their inheritance on the eastern side. And of course, we see that they were Gad and Reuben and half a tribe of Manasseh. Now, the Levi's inheritance consisted of three things: the sacrifice itself, which we just saw, and of course, we want to look at First John chapter 5 and verse 12. First John chapter 5 and verse 12. And we read, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So we too have the sacrifice itself as Christians, amen, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Levites not only have the sacrifice itself, but the Lord himself. And going back to Joshua chapter 13, in verse number 33, we read, "But under the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not only inheritance, the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance." It says, "But under the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance, the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them." And then we saw also their own priesthood. Their own priesthood. And we see that in Joshua chapter 18, verse 7. "But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." This is the wonder of the New Testament doctrine of the priesthood of the believer. And we see that we too have all those things. Amen. The sacrifice itself, the Lord himself, and we have a priesthood. And this is the wonder of the New Testament doctrine of the priesthood of the believer. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 with me for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4 with me. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verses 14 through 16, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven," and of course that great high priest is Jesus Christ, "seeing then that we have that great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And then again in 1 Peter for just a second. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see that there is a wonderful New Testament doctrine of the priesthood of the believers. Amen. And we want to also look at is the as we look at our lesson here, No Time to Rest, Part 2, we want to look at, as we're looking at our course outline, we've looked at, under Roman numeral 2, A, B, C, D, and E. Now we want to look at F, to take the place you have chosen. Take the place you have chosen. And either with God's people or on your own in your place of second best. But you have to make up your mind. Either you're going to be with God, take the place you have chosen. Either with God's people or on your own, which is second best. And the thing is to make up your mind where you're going to be. Because God hates lukewarm people. That's right. Luke, he hates lukewarm people, amen? So you got to make up your mind. You're going to be with God's people, or you're going to be on your own, in your place, in your own place, which is second best. And that's basically what the 2.5 tribes did, that took their inheritance on the east of the Jordan, instead of getting it when they crossed the Jordan, amen? And the Bible talks about hates lukewarm people. We see that in when he talks to the church at Laodicea, when he writes the letters to the seven churches in the chapter 3 of the book of Revelations. He says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of your mouth. He hates lukewarm people. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse number 21, 1 Kings 18, verse 21, we read, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Elijah put it to them. He says, choose either God or Baal, but make a choice. And they didn't answer him a word. In reality, you choose whether to accept God's way or to go your own way. Amen. And we read in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's God's way or your way. Amen. When you turn to Christ, you say, I'm tired of my own way, of doing it my way, and God, I want to do it your way. Take the place you have chosen. These divisions were set up under Moses, comparing Moses with Joshua. From which would you rather have received your inheritance? And of course, in John chapter 1, in verse 17, we're reminded of this. John chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And of course, we know another name for Joshua is Jesus. They're the same, one and the same. And what we have under Moses' law and under Joshua grace, a quarter of the people end up on the wrong side of the Jordan, as we saw the 2.5 tribes. There is division in Israel because half want to walk by faith, and the other half want to walk by sight. Amen. And this is always the case. In Numbers chapter 32, Numbers chapter 32, in verses 1 through 6, we read, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrod and Heshbon and Elilah and Shebaan and Nebo and Beon, and even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, If we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? You know, this is always the case. Some want to walk by sight and some want to walk by faith. And this is always a cause of splits, divorces, and arguments. Amen. Well, we're going to stop right here on lesson number 14. And when we continue, when we meet again, we will pick up and continue in lesson number 14. So we'll stop right here.